Moncrief on News Talk.
As you all know, we have a housing crisis, but we're not unique in that. Many other European countries are having similar problems. So could the EU step in here, even to a limited degree? Lorcan Sir is a senior lecturer in housing at Technological University Dublin. Good afternoon, Lorcan.
Hi, Sean.
The kinds of mistakes one could argue that have been made in this country, have they been replicated in many other European countries?
Well, I think that's the issue, Sean, that across the European Union, the European Commission is looking at a lot of the same policy approaches to housing, particularly what we call the financialization of housing. In other words, the construction of housing solely for rental income, for say, rather than as houses to buy. Also, the rise of short-term lets, like the Airbnbs, I suppose, rise in housing vacancy and then a slowdown in activity. And it's having all sorts of issues across the union. Like it's affecting labour mobility. It's limiting people getting jobs and going to education. I mean, I see it myself in the university, like students choosing courses near to where so they can live at home rather than going to do the course they want. All that kind of stuff. And what you get then is rising kind of inequality between people who have housing and people who don't. And this is in Ireland as much as it is in Estonia. And then you get that kind of what the European Union are really worried about, or the European Commission, is that if you have rising inequality and people kind of, you know, fed up really with the housing situation, that they'll be tempted to kind of vote for extreme parties on the right or the left. And that whole idea of, you know, a stable, the centre, you know, must hold kind of stuff politically across Europe could be at risk. So that's why the European Commission are getting involved.
Yeah. Now, how much can the European Commission do? Because isn't housing kind of up to each individual country?
Well, that's a really good question and an interesting one, because housing is seen as what they call a national competence or a national incompetence, maybe. And so, in other words, it's down to each country to kind of deliver their own housing policy. And of course, the problem is that a lot of the housing policies across Europe, as Europe has kind of moved politically right, you know, Poland and Hungary and Ireland and everywhere else, as they move kind of right, you see these kind of right-wing economic policies coming in, and that have caused a lot of the problems. So, the European Union, the European Commission, has no competence in housing, right? That's up to every country. But because the crises are across the union and are kind of seeing the same problems in every country, they've decided to step in. But they have this kind of thing called the European Affordable Housing Plan, and it's going to be run by the Danish Housing Minister, Dan Jorgensen. But like, what it's up to really is going to be up to each country to decide how much or if any of it they want to implement. Because the only bit of area, which is quite interesting, like the only area that of housing that the European Commission has seen themselves take an active role in is short-term lets, right? Because as much as you and I might see short-term letting, like the use of housing for Airbnb and the likes, as a housing problem, they see it as a digital economy problem. So when we proposed, and in fairness to the Department of Housing, which is not something I say too often, but in fairness to them, they did try and limit short-term lets a few years ago, and the European Commission came down on them because they saw it as being a problem for European competitiveness, digital competitiveness, rather than a housing issue. So anyway, the upshot of that is it'll be really interesting to see how much of the European Affordable Housing Plan each country decides to implement.
Yeah. Now, tell us what's going on in Spain, because there seems to be two distinct approaches, one around Barcelona and one in the rest of the country.
Yeah, so Spain is really interesting. I spent a year as a professor of housing in Tarragona, which is in Catalonia. You know, they're just about an hour below Barcelona. So what you see in Spain is it's divided up into regions, and each region will have its local government, its own kind of regional government. Madrid have taken the real classic kind of right-wing economic approach of deregulation and reducing, you know, in inverted commas, red tape and all that kind of stuff. And they've said to investment companies, like the large kind of funds, come in, we won't put any barriers in your way, do your damnedest, build as much as you can. We're going to really, you know, make everything as easy as possible for you. And what you've seen then is, in the upshot of that, Sean, is that what you've seen is rents rising as they build, you know, thousands and thousands of very expensive apartments. They've also sold off a huge amount of their, they've also sold off a huge amount of their social housing to private equity funds, which I could see happening here in due course. Barcelona and Catalonia, up in the northeast of the country, which is a far more kind of a radical part of Spain, but they have taken the complete opposite view, and they have done a huge crackdown on short-term lets. They've banned them in about 140 little kind of electoral areas that they have, and they've put in all sorts of new rules and taxes to kind of curb property speculation, in other words, people buying housing, leaving it empty, and then flipping it in a few years' time. So they've taken a completely different view, and in the year from June 2024 to June 2025, rents have started to fall about 8 or 9% there, as they've cracked down on this. Now, typically, landlords are exploiting the loopholes, so they're trying to kind of close up the loopholes as well. But it's really instructive, though, Sean, because the two different approaches, it's like a kind of a test bed, you know, for how should we tackle this. Like, one people are looking at housing from an investment financial return perspective and saying, oh, we need to bring in as much investment into the country as possible. And that sounds very familiar, because that's exactly what they're doing here. And in up in Catalonia, they're going the other way and saying, actually, you know, housing is a social good, not an economic good, and therefore we're going to make sure that as much housing as possible is as affordable to as many people as possible.
How did, if the EU stepped in when Ireland trying to cut down on short-term LEPs, how come Catalonia can do it?
Yeah, because, well, eventually, so the European Commission wrote to Ireland, Spain, and I can't remember, it was the third country that they wrote, maybe Luxembourg, they wrote to three countries saying, no, you can't do this. And we kind of changed what we had proposed to do. And now the short-term net rules are going to apply in towns above 10,000 or whatever the rules are going to be. And so I'm assuming that Catalonia did some sort of compromise there as well. Or else they just went and did it, John, you know, and said, you know, take us on, do your damnedest, take us on. Because if the European Commission stepped into Catalonia and told them that they'd have to allow all the short-term nets back in again, there would be literally an uprising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in Barcelona, because anybody following Barcelona in particular, you know, online will see the protesting and the occupying housing and the squatting and all that stuff going on.
Yeah. Now, the approach from the European Commission, are they approaching housing as an as something to invest in or as a social good?
Bit of both. Because you got to remember, the European Commission or Europe as a whole is quite kind of centre-right, you know, they still believe in a huge amount of private sector investment in housing is a good thing and all that kind of stuff. So what you find in the European Affordable Housing Plan is that they're going to look at speculation and ways to curb speculation in housing like they've done in Catalonia. Now, I think speculation is a huge part of the problem. People buying housing, getting planning permission, not building them, all that kind of stuff. There's a whole lot of stuff around that. But also they're saying that we need lots of investment and lots of private sector investment in housing. Now, typically that is building apartments for rent. And that brings its own, you know, it brings more accommodation, but it brings its own problems as well. And it hasn't done anything to affect the price of rent, as people will know, anybody looking to rent somewhere around Ireland. So they're kind of trying to ride both horses at once. But I think the impetus behind this, Sean, from the European Commission is a political one, in that they're afraid of the right-wing parties in particular, you know, soaking up young people's votes. And this, remember, this mostly affects younger people. Like people like yourself and myself are probably comfortable compared to somebody, you know, in their earlier mid-20s. And so they're terrified of those people kind of moving to the right and voting right. So they're trying to balance the kind of social role of housing and the economic role and the investment role as well, along with, you know, the overarching thing, the umbrella mission is to stop people kind of voting extremist, really.
Yeah. How much of an extent can they control that, though, given that so many countries, Ireland would be included in this, has essentially surrendered control of the housing market to kind of international markets and investment funds?
Yeah, this is a really interesting thing about housing in kind of countries that have left it to the market, is that the government now no longer controls the vast majority of housing that gets built. You know, it's affordability is controlled by things like interest rates and wages and stuff like that. And interest rates come from the banks, nothing to do with the government, and wages are depending on employers. But also, like, and the education minister of all people, not the invisible man who's the housing minister, but the education minister, James Lawless, was out there the other day talking about, you know, saying that housing is about international markets. It's actually a spreadsheet in Zurich or New York or Antwerp more than a builder looking at a site in Longford or Scotland. I mean, he's right, like, but he said the quiet part out loud, you know. He said, you know, what the likes of himself would know, that all these investment decisions are taken by Excel spreadsheets by people in offices who probably never didn't even know where Ireland is on a map. It doesn't matter to them. It's about returns, economic returns. So the government's an awful lot of the delivery of housing is, you know, dependent on other people, and the government can't control that, which is why they're trying to, you know, bend over backwards to do things like reduce access to judicial reviews, to kind of lift planning, what they perceive as planning barriers, all that kind of stuff, to de-risk these investors coming into Ireland. And that's, so you're right, you know, what can the European Commission do if a huge amount of the housing that's being provided across the European Union is provided by the private sector? It's like, going to be like herding cats, you know?
Yeah. And in European terms, because the Commission did produce a fairly detailed report on this, is the problem more acute in Ireland or than in the rest of Europe, or are we kind of average in it?
Well, we're in some ways we're below average, and in some ways we're above average. So our house price inflation, average house price inflation in the last 10 years across the European Union has been about 60%. In Ireland, it's 109%. Right? Wow. So we're at top of the class there, you know. And in the place where we used to be top of the class, which would be like home ownership, and, you know, so we used to have, not that 25 years ago, we used to have about 80-odd% of people. So 8 in 10 people would own their own home. Now, that includes having a mortgage, you know. But now that's down to about 65%, something like that, 65.7%. And we're way below the European average, is about 70%. So we're bad there. In terms of how, what they call housing overburden, so the amount of people who spend more than 40% of their net income on housing, we're below the European average there. We're doing okay there. But that's because half of the people in Ireland who own their own home, they don't have a mortgage. Like, we're really special in that way, like that you know, 66% of us or whatever it is own their own homes, but half of us don't have a mortgage, which means that you're spending zero every month, you know, on your rent or a mortgage because you own it. And so that kind of flattens that average. But we do have huge problems. Like, we're sixth from the top in terms of rent. So in Dublin, people spend an average of 66, this is a whopping number, 62% of their income on rent. And that's the sixth from the top after, like, really good cities like Milan and places like that, like really real, what I would call real cities, you know. And we're sixth from the top. And the wealthiest places like Luxembourg and Frankfurt, they pay the lowest, about 34% of their income on rent. So we're way above average in the wrong things, and we're below average in the good things.
Yeah. Going back to Spain again, as you were telling us, Catalonia has seen a fall in rents, increase in the rest of Spain. What period of time would one judge that either was a success? Do you have to look at it for 5 years or 10 years before you can say that's the way we should be going about this?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And James Brown, when the Minister for Housing, when he brought in the new rent rules coming in March, he was asked, like, when would this take effect? Would we see the impact of this, the positive impact? And he said, I can't say. And the answer is never, like, really. So what you see, like, you can only judge it on what you see going on, you know, 6 months to 6 months, really. And in fairness, although rents are falling an average of 8.9% in Barcelona, you know, there are also other issues going on as well. So, like, housing is such a mixed bag, Sean, of different aspects that to say, like, so people often ask me, like, what European country does it best? And the answer is none, right? Because even in the good countries like the Austria, and everybody looks at Vienna, like, Vienna is a city that does housing really well, partly because the state is up to its neck in housing, whereas we're only dipping our toe in it here. But they also have other problems. You know, Finland gets held up as the place with no homelessness, and which it hadn't for many years. And then a right-wing government took over and they took all the funding away from preventing homelessness. So now their homeless numbers are going up again. So no, every country has its issues. So even in Spain and Catalonia and Barcelona and places, if you'll see positives in some ways, there'll be probably negatives in others, you know.
Lorcan, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Lorcan Sir, Senior Lecturer in Housing at the Technological University, Dublin. One texter wonders, even if the European Commission get involved, how will they actually progress construction and ensure affordable housing? Well, they can't, is the short answer, because that's within the power of each particular individual country. They can produce reports, and it sounds like the report is a bit on the one hand, and on the other hand, it doesn't come out with a definitive approach to this. No wonder young people are leaving this country in droves. Affordable housing is the cornerstone to getting them back. Absolutely. If England have the same proportion of vacant properties per head of the population as Ireland, they would have 2 million vacant properties. Is that the case, says John? Don't know. I saw a recent report that Dublin is on a par with some of the most expensive cities in the world to live in, London, Vancouver, Sydney. This affordability problem is global. We shouldn't forget, not just here. No, that, you know, that is a fair point, and it's all over Europe, as we've been hearing. Is there as much allocation for social housing internationally as here? I don't know off the top of my head. My guess would be it's probably more.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.